have a soggy, wet winter wonderland in the morning. So. Which is better than having to shovel snow, so I'm for it. But all right, if you would, stand with me. If you're able, turn to page 100. We're going to sing Jesus is All the World to Me. Page 100. That's fine.
Jesus, all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessing, and he gives them more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Amen. Good singing. I'm going to ask my dad if he'd open up the service with a word of prayer.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful, precious friend like Jesus. Lord God, thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Lord God, for the joy that we share. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you'd be with the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you manifest yourself. Lord, I pray that you work in and around our hearts. Father God, I ask that you would circumcise areas of our hearts that we would not normally open up. But Father God, I pray that we'd allow you to minister to each and every one of our needs here this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd have us, you'd speak powerfully to our hearts this day. Lord, I pray for that when we leave later on, that Father God, that you'd give us travel mercies. Yes. Lord, is the weather supposed to be getting a little icy and rain? I just pray, Father God, you'd give each one of us safe passage. Pray for those who can't be here tonight because of sickness, whatever the situation is. Lord, I pray that you just would meet the needs there. So many different needs and so many different problems within the church. Father God, I just pray that you'd be with God's people. We're a needy people, Father God. As days go by, we need you more and more. As times wax more and more cold. So, Father, I pray for the service now. Lord God, I pray that there'd not be any distractions, but that, Father God, that you just would Take charge of the service. Hide Pastor behind the cross. Use him in a precious and wonderful way this evening. And it's in Christ's name we'll thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. If you would turn with me to page 821, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. All right, we're going to sing a cappella here, page 821. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount have poured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
finish up this evening the study here on the rapture of the church or the blessed hope of the church. If you take your Bibles tonight, look again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. The Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I pray you just bring clarity of mind now for all of us. Lord, help us to glean what is in your word. Help us to see these truths, dear God. And Lord, just give help where it's needed, that you be glorified and magnified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you look at verse number 18, and I'll say this as we're closing up tonight on this study. I think this will be the last night on this. That it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, with what he just said, verses 13 through 17. Now, in my opinion, I will say this, and this is no disrespect to the Word of God, but I think that's funny, verse number 18, to go through the tribulation. Now, I don't know if you've read the book of Revelation lately. I'm going through it quite a bit recently, and it is not going to be a fun time. Okay, it is going to be one of the worst times ever this planet has ever seen. And to me, it would be quite a joke, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, I really don't. For the Lord to say, well, just comfort one another with these words that if you make it through to the end, I'm coming back and I'm going to grab you up to where I'm at. It's like, Lord, do you even really see what's in Revelation that we would have to go through as a church that I'm supposed to comfort myself with these words when I see all these things that have got to happen before you come back? Well, that's a scary thing. And a sense of verse 18, well, how am I to comfort myself when I know what's coming if we're going through the tribulation? And I will say this before we go into this final study. It is a joke, and I will tell anybody this, that if they think they're going through the tribulation, that they're going to save up enough peanut butter and ammunition to make it through 7 years of basically hell on earth. You read through Revelation, number one, it's God pouring his wrath out, and you're not going to outwit God. If the Lord's bringing in the tribulation and the trouble, you're not getting around on it. I don't care if you build a bunker 300 feet under the ground. The Lord will have a way of reaching you. And so I want to take that as we look into it this evening. And again, this will be hopefully the last study we look on it. We'll be able to get through this last thing here. But we're going to look at the trumpet and trumpets in the Bible. And if you take your Bible, look over to Matthew chapter 24. All right, Matthew chapter 24. Now, what some of these guys out there are saying is they're saying that when you read in Matthew 24 here, that when he gathers, we're going to look at these verses, verse 31. We'll start in verse 29 here. Matthew 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, 29. All right, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Okay, so you've already had the Antichrist set himself up in the temple. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay? So what some of these people out there, what they're saying with this, is they're saying that in verse number 31 here, that is what's referred to in 1 Corinthians 15:52, and also in what we read there in Thessalonians chapter 4. All right? Now, I went over it a couple of weeks ago, and I got a magazine that came to the church here this week, and I guess just recently, not too long ago, they're starting to make available to those Christians that or people that would like to see it, the Dead Sea Scrolls and these manuscripts that they found and all that, and there's more questioning on how things should be worded and are things correct in our Bibles. I'm not talking about the King James, I'm just talking about Bibles in general. Brother, I'm telling you, the closer we get back to the Lord's return, the more confusion's going to happen, the more doubt's going to be cast upon God's word, how it should be worded, how it should be said. Are these the right words? Brethren, trust your King James Bible. Do not turn your back on your King James Bible and lean upon it. This is where we run into trouble, because one of these guys who's talking about these things, his Bible says, and I looked a couple weeks ago, his Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it doesn't say the last trump, it says the last trumpet. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Their Bibles, the NIV, the NASB, the New King James, the New Living Translation, all of them, every one that I looked up, all of them say the last trumpet. Our Bible, hold your hand there, Matthew, because we're coming back to it, because they're talking about this trumpet here in Matthew 24:31. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:52. And look at the context of the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Now, look what he says in verse 51 before we go into verse 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is not a mystery. It's not a mystery. We're going to look tonight and we're going to go back to the Old Testament, and it was not a mystery. If any individual wanted to see it, they could see in the Old Testament that in the last days, at the very end, the Lord was going to come back to rule and reign. This was no mystery to the Jews. If the Jews spent any time in Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, it was no mystery that the Lord was coming back someday. The Messiah was going to come back and rule and reign the nations. A physical kingdom on this earth. That was not a mystery. And we're going to see it tonight. Yet Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. Well, Paul, if this is what they say it is, the last trumpet in Revelation chapter 11, this is not a mystery. This is something different. But we'll look what it says. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. Now, if you look at it, it says the last trumpet, when the trumpet sounds. I believe that in context here, it's talking about that last note as that trumpet's playing or sounding off. When it hits that last note, that last trump that's made with that man, with that angel blowing it, or whoever's blowing it. When it makes that last note, boom, that's when we're going to be changed. That's, I believe, what the context is. I don't believe you get the context here that he's talking about a last trumpet. It doesn't say that. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. It's not saying, now the new Bibles, though, say this. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now this is where they're getting their grounds. They're saying, okay, the church has got to go through the tribulation. There is no rapture because in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says the last trumpet. And this is where they go with it. Take your Bible, look over at Revelation chapter number 8. Revelation chapter number 8. Book of Revelation. And look at verse number 8. Revelation verse 8. Now, remember what we read in Matthew 4:31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:52 in their Bible says the last trumpet. Go to Revelation chapter 8 and look at verse number 1. And when he had opened the seven seals, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given, look what it says, seven trumpets. In verse number 7, the first trumpet sounded. In verse number 8, the second. Verse number 10, the third. And verse number 12, the fourth. The first four trumpets happened pretty quick. Boom, boom, boom. And then you get a little space, and then you go into the last three. Chapter 9, you go into the... All right, so the first four trumpets cover 8 verses maybe. First four trumpets cover 8 verses in chapter 8. The next three trumpets cover 3 chapters. Okay? The fifth trumpet sounds in chapter number 9, verse number 1. Then the sixth one sounded in verse number 13, same chapter. Then you go all the way through chapter 10, through chapter 11, over into chapter 11, verse number 15. And this is where they say that the church is taken out. This is what they say is Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. But they also say that it coincides with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In both 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, it says the last trump. It doesn't say last trumpet. The new Bibles in both Corinthians and Thessalonians, all the new Bibles, like I said, all of them say the last trumpet. Not trump, trumpet. Now look what it says here in verse 15, Revelation 11. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, I will say this, that I believe, after looking into this, I believe that this last trumpet that is sounded by this angel does occur at the very end of the tribulation and may very well coincide with what is talked about in Matthew 4:31. Okay? But I do not believe it's the same trumpet that is sounded in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'll show what I mean by that, because look at the context here. He says, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now look at verse. Now these verses are important because they coincide with what we're going to look at further on here. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. I don't believe that this is Revelation chapter 21 where it talks about the great white throne judgment. And I'll show what I mean by that. I don't believe this is what it's talking about. I believe what this is showing here is what's going to happen in Matthew 24 and 25. There are going to be individuals that are going to be judged at that time. Lewis says that nations were angry at the time that the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that they shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to thy saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testimony, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now, nowhere in there does it say anything about angels, though, gathering the elect. It just says this angel blows this seventh trumpet, and then we see what happens here, verses 15 through 19. Now, take your Bible and go back over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and look at verse number 31. Now, they say again that the trumpet that's being sounded here in Matthew 31 is the same trumpet that sounded in Revelation chapter 11, along with, it's the same trumpet as the 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They're one and the same. It's the last trumpet that sounded. All right? And they say, what they say here is that the elect that's gathered from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other, that's the church. But I'm here to say this evening that the elect in this context is not the church, it is the Jewish people. And I believe we can prove that and show that from the Old Testament. In here, when the Lord's talking, he's not talking, the church isn't even birthed in yet. He's talking to Jewish people about the very end. He's talking to them about something that they know if they've spent time in the Old Testament. Now, when you look at trumpet and trumpets in the Bible, only four times is the word trumpet mentioned in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:10 and Revelation 4:1. What's interesting about the time that it's mentioned in Revelation 1:10 and 4:1 is it says in Revelation 1:10, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." So another thing that we can take into thought here, again, I don't understand it all, but John says in Revelation 1:10 and 4:1 that he hears a voice, and that voice sounds like a trumpet. What did it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Let me get over there real quick and write it down. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." The Lord's voice in heaven in Revelation 1 and Revelation 4:1 sounds like a trumpet. His voice sounds like a trumpet. So those are the two times that it's mentioned, Revelation 1, Revelation 4:1. And then it's also mentioned in Revelation 8:13 and Revelation 9:14. The word trumpets, plural, is only mentioned two times in the book of Revelation. Then that's Revelation chapter 8, verse number 2, and Revelation 8, verse number 6. All right? So, this is what I want you to look at. Look what it says again in Matthew 24:31. It says, "He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they..." Who's the they? That's the angels, right? The Lord's going to come back. He's going to have his angels with him. He's going to sound... there's going to be a sound of a trumpet, and they, the angels, are going to go out, and they're going to gather the elect from the four winds, even from one end of heaven to the other. Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. This is still in the same context. He's still talking, and this is the same thought process and talking of our Lord. Look what he says in verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." And look what it says in verse 32. "And nations shall be gathered," "and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So when he comes back to rule and reign, he is going to sit there on that throne, and he's going to have sheep on his right, goats on the left. They're going to go through a purging process there. The nations will be gathered to him, and he's going to cause a separation. Who's going to gather those individuals together? The angels. The angels will gather together. Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse number 36. Matthew 13, 36. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 36. Matthew 13, 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Look what it says. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The very end of the world, what we read there in Matthew chapter 25 and in chapter 24, the Lord's going to come back, and he's going to separate the tares from the wheat. The angels will be doing the gathering. They will be the reapers at the very end of time, at the very end here of the tribulation. This is not the church. What is it Paul says? Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If we were to die right now, an angel is not going to gather us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Here in the very end, you're going to have individuals that are gathered by angels. During the blessed hope, who stays and who goes? In the blessed hope, the good go, the saved go, and the wicked are left. during the gathering of the end here, the good stay and the wicked are taken away. The good stay, wicked are taken away, and the blessed hope, the good go and the wicked stay. Two different things, two different events. All right, take your Bible, look at verses 47 and 50, same chapter of Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down. And look what it says, and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. During the rapture, the good are taken and the wicked are left. During the end, second advent, when the Lord comes to rule and reign, the good are gathered to stay and the bad are cast away. Look what verse 49 says. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. All right. At the end, when I say the second advent, I'm referring to when the Lord comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years. At the second advent, there is going to be a gathering of all nations on this whole world, and they're going to be gathered together in front of the Lord, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. With that in mind, take your Bible, look at Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39. And look at verse number 17. Now just hang with me here in these last few moments as we go through these verses. Ezekiel chapter 39 and look at verse number 31. Ezekiel 39 and there is no, oh, I'm sorry, verse 17. Ezekiel 39 verse 17. Now tell me as we're reading through this if it just doesn't remind you of something in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel 39, look at verse 17. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. This is Revelation 19, 17 through 21. And ye shall eat the fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory, look what it says, and I will set my glory among the heathen. And all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. Look what it says next. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from this day and forward. This is Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, Revelation 19, 17 through 21. This is, the Lord says, to the house of Israel, not the church. This is not the church. Look what he says in verse 23. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel, look now, brethren, why must the tribulation occur? Why is it a tribulation? Why is there the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years? Why is there a time of Jacob's trouble? Here's your answer. Verse number 23. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so they fell all by the sword. Look what it says, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of the church. No, the captivity of Jacob. And have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Verse 26, after they, who? The Israelites, the Jews, the house of Jacob, the house of Israel. After they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses where they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. when I have brought them again from the people, look what it says here, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Hold your hand there and flip back over and look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and look at verse number... Oh. No. Now I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm sorry, go back over to Ezekiel 39. We'll get to that in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look what it says in verses 28 and 29, last two verses of Ezekiel 39. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. All right, you see that? And we're going to get to that verse in a second in Luke. The children of Israel are not in captivity right now. Though there are Jews everywhere, they have not been scattered among the nations because of some event that's occurred. The Jews are going to be regathered even more and more so over there into Israel. It's already occurring today. It's been occurring for the last 60, 70 years. But they're going to be scattered again. They're going to be scattered again, and they're going to flee again into all nations from the wrath of the Antichrist. But the Lord says in verse 28 here, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But look what he says. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face from them, for I poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. He's going to gather them again. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54, and look at verse number 7. Isaiah 54 and verse number 7. Isaiah 54 verse 7 says this, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. All right? There's going to be a regathering of the nation of Israel after they are scattered. Again, it's going to happen here in the near future. All right, during the rapture or the blessed hope, I said this earlier, the righteous are taken and the wicked left. At the second advent of Christ, the wicked are removed and the righteous stay. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah 27 and verse 1. Brethren, when you start, this is what I was talking about this morning. When you start looking into this study, it's not something that you just cover in 15 minutes just looking at Matthew 24 and 25 and then going to Romans and saying how the church is now the elect and Israel no longer is in existence, that the church is now the elect of God and God's done with Israel because they rejected him and now the church is it. No. If you go through your Bible and you spend time studying Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah, you are going to see this theme all through those three books of a gathering again of the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 27, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, in that day the Lord with sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. Down to verse number 6. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Verse number 9, for sake of time. You could read the whole chapter because it deals with it, but for sake of time, verse number 9. By this, therefore... Look here again, the same thing as Ezekiel 39. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar of as chalk stones that are beaten and sunder, and the groves and images shall not stand. Verse number 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered, here it is again, gathered, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel, and it shall come to pass, now look at this, very interesting verse, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Isn't that an interesting verse? Talking about a trumpet blowing. Again, the context is the gathering of who? Not the church. The church is, in the time of Isaiah, he had no clue about the church. This is all context of Jacob and the house of Israel. Brethren, when you read through your Bible, and I've said this before, Israel, their wickedness far exceeded many times the heathen nations that were around them. Think about how many children they sacrificed to devils. Think about when you read about in the book of Revelation, and I forget what chapter it is now, where the blood is going to be so high as a horse's bridle. You're going to have so much blood in the book of Revelation, it's almost as if the Lord says, you want to shed blood? You like blood? You like gory movies? You like horror movies? You like all this blood, 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 blood? You want blood? I'm giving you blood. And it's almost as if the Lord is pouring out his wrath and fury and his indignation upon the sin of Jacob and Israel. Why would God the Father be so mad and have such indignation against Jacob and the house of Israel? Because they had the oracles of God. They had the truth. They were to be the light to the nations. Look, the Jewish people ought to have accepted the Messiah and ought to be teaching us. They dropped the ball. Not only did they drop the ball, they rejected him. And what did they say? His blood be upon us and our children. And the Lord says, okay, you want your blood to be upon you and your children? You're going to get just that. The tribulation is for the Jewish people. To purge them, to sanctify them, to punish them, to deal with them over all their transgressions that they've committed. Brethren, our sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. We do not have to go through the tribulation. He took our sorrows. He bore our grief. He bore the wrath of his Father upon sin on the cross of Calvary. And every individual have I heard talk about these things, not one of them have gone to any of these verses. I'm talking about men teaching on that the church is now Israel and must go through the tribulation. I ain't heard one of them talk about any of these verses I'm talking about tonight. But look how interesting verse 13 says in Isaiah 27, and it shall come to pass in that day, what day? That very end day that a great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria and outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Take your Bible, look over at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 1. I started doing this study and looking more into the study, and it was like I had like 10 bookmarkers in my Bible. And I'm like flipping through and saying, this is insane. How there's a common thread and theme through all of these books. That's why I'm saying, Brandon, it was not a mystery. This was not hidden. The Jews could read these things. For the last thousands of years, they could read these things and know these things. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's Revelation 19. Revelation 19:15 is a cross reference for that verse right there. Verse number 5. And righteousness is Jesus Christ. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Look what verse 6 says. The wolf also. This is going into the millennium. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. What a day that will be. I can't wait, brethren. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for the millennium, and I can't wait for the new heavens and new earth. What a day that's going to be. Verse 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Look what it says in verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall, look what it says, shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, look what it says, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of the church. No, the outcast of Israel. And here's that word again. And gather together who? The dispersed of Judah from the, look at this now, four corners of the earth. Matthew 24:31. He's going to gather, he's going to send the angels at that last trump and gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. See, the four winds and the four corners are synonymous with each other. Same, they're one and the same. Here he's going to gather Judah, he's going to gather Israel together in those last days. Verse 13, the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together, and they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river and shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. There's something that occurs there at the very end as well. Something with the streams and the river. The Lord's going to dry things up, and people are going to come into Israel through that pathway. This is not the church. What does it say? That we seek a kingdom to come. We seek a heavenly city. The Jews, God has given the Jewish people a physical land, a physical kingdom, and they're going to have a physical king someday in the Lord Jesus Christ and in David. We don't have a physical land. We don't have a physical king in the sense that he's going to rule and reign in the land that he's given us. Ours is a spiritual kingdom, with a spiritual king and a spiritual life. This is a physical kingdom that God has given to the Jewish people through Abraham. And they're going to get it again. Look, once the church goes out, all the focus, I said this before, all the focus goes right back over there to Israel, to that little piece of land over there in the Middle East, and back to those people, the Jewish people, and not the church. So what are we saying? I'll look at these other verses later on because of the sake of time tonight. We'll finish up next week. Are we saying that at some point, if the church is to go through the tribulation, then we need to start moving over to Israel? Look, if all these preachers believe the church is to go through the tribulation, we ought not to be hiding out in a bunker. We ought to be getting our citizenship and everything moved over, if possible, to the nation of Israel. And be ready for when the Antichrist comes in. Be ready to be there to support Moses and Elijah. Be ready to support the 144,000 as they propagate and put out the testimony. Not sitting here in America. We ought to be getting over there and getting ready. Now, we'll look at that next week. those last final thoughts. I thought I could get through it all, but there's just too many verses to look at, and I want to take my time and look at the last couple verses talking about the regathering of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, in the end times. Brethren, I believe the more I study this out and look at this thing and just ask the Lord to lead, guide, and direct, I'm becoming, and not that I wasn't convinced before, but the more I look at these scriptures and just look at the gold mine that is found in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah, I just stand, like I said the other day, I was like, Lord, I said, God, I can't write fast enough and keep all these things in my mind with what I'm seeing here in the Word of God. I've never done an exhaustive study on this. I went to church. I got saved. I believed in the rapture. I never doubted it. So I never spent much time really digging into it. Now, my pastor has done some studies on it, but I never really put much. I listen, but I never had to deal with it. But it seems like the further we go on these last days, the more and more people are coming out saying that we're being led of Satan. Us. In believing that the church is going out through the rapture or blessed hope. They believe it's a doctrine of devils. They believe there's a lot of independent Baptists that I believe if you had an Israeli flag in here, they would look at you like you're being led of Satan. And I'm being serious on that. It is sweeping this and Calvinism. It's like a tidal wave coming back in through the churches again. Calvinism and the nation of Israel being replaced by the church. Brethren, the nation of Israel doesn't replace the church, and the church doesn't replace the nation of Israel. Two separate entities. Clear in Scripture. Clear. But you got to take your time and you got to go through it all and you got to look at all of it. And so hopefully we'll continue on. I thought I could be able to finish it up this week, but Lord willing, we'll do it next week. I hope some of these things make sense. If you don't re-listen to it, write down the scriptures yourself, get alone with God and start going through it for yourself and ask God to give you more light on it and see. But it is all through the Old Testament, a regathering of the nation of Israel after the Lord deals with them. His people, the Jewish people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren, Lord, and being willing to travel out on a night like tonight, Lord, with the threat of some weather here. God, I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. I pray you bless them for it. And Lord, I pray you just bless these Bible studies. Lord, it is my prayer, dear God, that through all these things, we would do what is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, that we would comfort one another with these words. Lord, that we may be ready for any moment that you might return and take us home with you to heaven. Lord, help the church clean itself, purge itself, do what it needs to do to make sure that it's right with you before you call us home. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. And again, thank you for all you do for us. I pray for our travel and mercies, dear God. Watch over us as we travel home. And Lord, if it be your will and you allow us to, Lord, I pray we'll be able to gather again on Wednesday evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Dismissed. And love you all and hope you have a good week. And Lord willing, see you on Wednesday. Amen.